Amen. If you would open your Bibles to John chapter 9. John chapter 9. If you found your place in God's Word, if you would stand. Out of the honor of the reading of God's Word. We'll be reading almost the whole chapter. John chapter 9, beginning in verse 1. As Jesus passed by, he saw a man which was blind from his birth. And his disciples asked him, saying, Master, who did sin, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? Jesus answered, Neither has this man sinned nor his parents, but that the works of God should be made manifest in him. I must work the works of him that sent me while it is day. The night cometh when no man can work. As long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world. When he had thus spoken, he spat on the ground and made clay of the spittle, and he anointed the eyes of the blind man with the clay. And said unto him, Go wash in the pool of Siloam, which is by interpretation sent. He went his way therefore and washed and came seeing. The neighbors therefore, and they which before had seen him that he was blind, said, Is not this he that sat and begged? Some said, This is he. Others said, He is like him. But he said, I am he. Therefore said they unto him, How were your eyes opened? He answered and said, A man that is called Jesus made clay and anointed my eyes and said unto me, Go to the pool of Siloam and wash. And I went and washed, and I received sight. Then said they unto him, Where is he? He said, I know not. They brought to the Pharisees him that aforetime was blind. It was the Sabbath day when Jesus made the clay and opened his eyes. Then again the Pharisees also asked him how he had received his sight. He said to them, He put clay on my eyes, and I washed and do see. Therefore said some of the Pharisees, This man is not of God, because he keeps not the Sabbath day. Others said, How can a man that's a sinner do such miracles? And there was a division among them. They say unto the blind man again, What sayest thou of him that he has opened your eyes? He said, He is a prophet. But the Jews did not believe concerning him that he had been blind and received his sight, until they called the parents of him that had received his sight. And they asked them, saying, Is this your son who you say was born blind? How then does he now see? His parents answered them and said, We know that this is our son, and that he was born blind. By what means he now sees, we know not. Or who has opened his eyes, we know not. He's of age. Ask him. He will speak up for himself. These words spoke his parents because they feared the Jews, for the Jews had agreed already that if any man did confess that he was Christ, he should be put out of the synagogue. Therefore said his parents, He's of age. Ask him. Then again called they the man that was blind and said to him, Give God the praise. We know that this man is a sinner. He answered and said, Whether he be a sinner or not, I do not know. One thing I know, that whereas I was blind, now I see. Then said they to him again, What did he to thee? How opened he thine eyes? He answered them, I've told you already, and you did not hear. Wherefore would you hear it again? Will you also be his disciples? Then they reviled him and said, You are his disciple, but we are Moses' disciples. We know that God spoke to Moses. As for this fellow, we know not from whence he is. The man answered and said to them, Why, herein is a marvelous thing, and you know not from whence he is? And yet he's opened my eyes. Now we know that God hears not sinners, but if any man be a worshipper of God and doeth his will, him he heareth. Since the world began, was it not heard that any man opened the eyes of one that was born blind? If this man were not of God, he could do nothing. They answered and said to him, You were altogether born in sin, and do you teach us? And they cast him out. Jesus heard they'd cast him out, and when he had found him, he said to them, Do you believe on the Son of God? He answered and said, Who is he, Lord, that I might believe on him? Jesus said unto him, You have both seen him, and it is he that talks with you. And he said, Lord, I believe. And he worshipped him. Jesus said, For judgment I am come into this world, that they which see not might see, and they which see might be made blind. Let's go, Lord, in prayer. Our Heavenly Father, it is our prayer that you would open our eyes. And Father, that you would confirm those that are born again, give them an assurance of their salvation. That you would unsettle those that believe themselves to be saved but are lost. Father, it's our prayer that you would open the eyes of those who are spiritually blind, that they might see Christ and believe in him. Father, it is our prayer that you would move in a mighty way in our midst. For it's in Christ's name I pray. Amen. You may be seated. It's important to remember the context of this passage of Scripture. As we've seen previously over the previous year plus, John has written this gospel to prove that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God. He has written to prove that Jesus is the divine Savior, the only Son of God, the only Savior. And that is why he has written John's gospel here. And through this, we have seen over and over and over again where Jesus Christ claims to be God himself, the divine Savior of the world. And we've seen a teaching come up over and over and over again throughout John. We see it in the teaching to Nicodemus. We see it elsewhere. We saw it in John 5 and 6, and we saw it in John 8. We see it constantly repeated that salvation is a radical transformation of the human nature. It is what is called being born again. It is a radical transformation in the inmost being. Salvation is not being born a Jew, being born into a Christian family with Christian parents. Salvation is not some outward thing like baptism, a prayer, church membership. It is not those things, but salvation is a radical transformation brought about by God himself in the person of Jesus Christ. This is one of the things that Jesus has taught constantly concerning light and darkness. That was one of the marks of being born again in John 3, is that they came out of darkness into light. That was one of the things we saw with the woman caught in adultery. When Jesus declares that she is not condemned, what does he turn and tell the Pharisees? I am the light of the world. He that follows me will not walk in darkness, but have the light of life. And the whole rest of John 8, what we've been looking at, is this argument. They say, you are not the light of the world. And Jesus says, I am the light of the world. And they have been arguing back and forth concerning whether Jesus truly is the light of the world or not. Here, Jesus meets a man who is born blind. There's discussion as to why he was born blind. We looked at that last week. But I want to begin in verse 5, where Jesus says this, as long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world. There was a discussion. Is Jesus the light of the world? Yes or no? Jesus is now going to prove that he is the divine Savior and that salvation is only found in Jesus Christ because he and he alone is the light of the world. And this is going to move beyond saying it. He's going to show it. And the way he shows that he is the light of the world is he heals this man who was born blind. There's no discussion after that. They reject Jesus outright, but they no longer accuse him of lying about being the light of the world. Why? Because he proves it. But in this story, there is a greater illustration of salvation, what salvation is. And so what we're going to do is we're not going to look at the interaction today between this man and the Pharisees. Lord willing, we're going to look at that next week, about the Pharisees being blind. But we're going to look at this man as a picture or a physical illustration of a spiritual truth concerning salvation. First, this man is born blind. This is not a man who could see and then did something to become blind. This is a man who was born blind. As we have looked over and over and over again in Scripture, we in America and we as human beings have a wrong understanding of human nature. We have this idea that we are basically good people until we do something that makes us bad. I'm a good person, and then I lie, and that lying now makes me a liar. I'm a good person, and then I kill someone, and that killing someone makes me a murderer. I steal something, and because I stole something, that makes me a thief. The Bible teaches the exact opposite. And that is that we are born dead in trespasses and sin. We are by our very nature the children of wrath, that we are born blind, we are born in darkness. and that out of our heart proceeds all evil things. Why did you lie? Lying doesn't make you a liar. You lied because you already were a liar. You committed adultery because you already were an adulterer. Out of the heart of man proceeds. You see, if the issue is outward things make me something, the solution is outward things make me something. If the problem is I am inwardly corrupt, the only solution then is there must be an inward transformation, an inward change. Jesus teaches that you have to change the nature of the tree to change the fruit. The reason a child is rebellious is because they have a rebellious heart. The reason someone sins is because they were already a sinner long before they ever sinned. We are born dead in trespasses and sin. We are born blind. Just like this man, we are unable to see the things of God. We are unable to see the way things really are. We are unable to see our sin. Have you ever talked with someone, and no matter how much you tried to get them to see it, they could not see the wrong that they were doing? They're blind. And just so you know, the Bible teaches you are born blind too. We are all born blind. We are all born in our sin. And we each have chosen a different pathway of sin. And sometimes we choose our pathway and say that our pathway of lying is better than somebody else's pathway of stealing. But someone's pathway of hypocrisy and religious pride is just as vile in the eyes of God as the pathway of the murderer. We are all born blind. This man, because he is born blind, Jesus comes to give him sight. And this sight is given to this man. He does nothing to get it. It is given to him freely. Again, if I have done something that brings me into condemnation, I must do something to undo it. But if I am born and by my very nature condemned, then God must do something to change my very condemned sinful nature. And I am at His mercy. If I am born blind, someone must come and give me light. If I am a sinner, someone must come and give me righteousness. If I am dead, someone must come and give me life. If I am not right with God, someone must come to make me right with God. Jesus now does something that is very confusing. He stoops down. He spits in the dirt, makes clay, covers the man's eyes, and sends him to go wash the clay off. As soon as the man washes the clay off of his eyes, he is able to see. Now, people have argued for years as to why he did it this way. Short answer is because he can do whatever he wants. But I believe that Jesus is trying to teach us something here. Something that is hard for us to acknowledge about ourselves. Something that's very easy to point out in others, but hard to acknowledge about ourselves. God in Genesis 2 stooped down into the dirt and made out of clay man. We are dirt. That's what we are. We are clay. Made by the very hand of God. But it is this human fleshly nature that makes us blind. Isn't this what Jesus told Nicodemus, those which are born of the flesh are flesh? Isn't this what Paul teaches in 1 Corinthians? Those that are of the flesh, the natural man, cannot receive the things of God because they are spiritually discerned. It is our very fallen human nature that makes us unable to see the truth. It's what it teaches in Ephesians 2. We are by nature children of wrath. It is something intrinsic to who we are as mere flesh and blood, as mere clay. We are human. And part of being human is we are sinners, we are not right with God, and we are blind to that fact and unable to see how far from God we truly are. We're unable to see how we hurt others, how we sin against God. We're unable to see why God would call something a sin that we really like to do. But the man, in order to see, must go and have the clay washed from his eyes. And if you look at salvation in Scripture is not going to some guru and following some man-made teachings. Salvation is not going to church. Salvation is not saying some prayer and really meaning it. Salvation is none of those things. Salvation is not a physical thing that someone has done. Salvation is not a date. It's not a piece of paper. It's not a time in your life when you did something. Salvation is not something you have done. At the very core, salvation is a new birth. Salvation is a transformation of the human nature. Salvation is a dead man being given new life. Salvation is a man being recreated, being remade. If any man's in Christ, he's a new creature, and you hath he quickened, who are dead in trespasses and sin. Marvel not that I said unto you, unless a man is born again, he cannot enter the kingdom of heaven. That's what it's teaching. A radical transformation of the nature. This is what is called in Scripture regeneration, which means new life. It literally is a new life. Notice, though, what happens. How does he get the new life? How does he get his sight? He's washed. In Titus 3:5, we are taught that it's not by works of righteousness which we have done. In other words, there's nothing that we have done to bring about our salvation, but according to his mercy, he saved us. And then what does it say? By the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost. How is salvation brought about? It is brought about when God's Holy Spirit washes away who I was before Christ, who forgives my sins, washes them away, but transforms, regenerates, renews, and gives new life to a dead sinner and gives a new nature. This is why in Colossians, when he talks about salvation, what is the hope of glory? Oh, it's a date written in the front of your Bible. No. Christ in you is the hope of glory. Speaks of being made partakers of the divine nature. But as many as received Him, to them gave He power to become the sons of God. Salvation is a radical transformation of the human nature, where we go from being blind to seeing, where we go from being dead to alive, when we go from being in sin to being declared righteous. It is a transformation of the very nature, where the old man goes away and the new man comes. If any man's in Christ, he's a new creature. The old things have passed away. Behold, all things are become new. That is salvation. It is the washing away of the old man so that the new man might see. Now I want you to notice this. The man goes and he washes and is able to see. But now there's a debate that takes place between the Pharisees and him. And they go on and on, and we're going to look at that more next week. But what I want to look at today is the miracle of regeneration, the miracle of salvation as it relates to you and me. This man, in verse 25, they pose to this man, they keep attacking him concerning Jesus and his nature. And in verse 25, this is what the man says. He says, whether he, this is Jesus, be a sinner or not, I do not know. Now, if you know anything about Christian theology, this guy failed massively on one of the most basic tenets of Christian faith. Is Jesus sinless or a sinner? Everybody knows that one of the most basic tenets of Christianity is that you cannot have a flawed sacrifice. So Jesus had to be flawless and Jesus had to be a sinless man for us to be saved. This guy failed theology 101. Failed it massively. But notice what he says. One thing I do know. Whereas I was blind, now I see. There has been some very dangerous things that have taken place in the last 40 years, 50 years, maybe even 100 years, in what is called Christianity in this country. And that is, especially among conservative people like Baptist, we have moved away from the teachings of Jesus Christ, and we have moved away from the gospel. Paris Reed had, was one of the first ones to point this out to me, listened to him preach. Because he said that we moved from a born-again person will follow these teachings in Scripture and will believe these things to if you can give mental assent that you believe those things, we will declare you to be born again. And what has happened is we have made salvation an intellectual affirmation, not a transformation of the soul. And what we have done is we have made salvation, if you can write down on a piece of paper the right theological things, we will say you're right with God. If you can say, yes, Jesus was born of a virgin, yes, Jesus was sinless, yes, Jesus died on the cross, yes, Jesus rose again, congratulations, you're going to heaven when you die. Unless a man be born again. It doesn't say unless a man can pass the theology test. Unless a man be born again, he cannot enter the kingdom of heaven. And what we have done is we have looked at smart people who can read very well and have good educations and good understanding, and we have declared them right with God because they can pass our little theology exam. Do you believe in Jesus? Yep, I do. Oh, he's saved. I thought many said in that day, Lord, Lord, and he said, depart from me, I never knew you. I thought he said, by their fruit you will know them. Go look in 1 John. And this is the thing that is so frustrating, because many of these people who I believe are unregenerate have been made pastors. And they teach something that's not found in the Word of God. How do you know that you're saved? Well, brother, April 14th, 1976. Where's that in the Bible? It's not. Do you remember? Was it a Monday or a Tuesday? That's not in the Bible either. How many nose hairs were sticking out of the preacher's nose? It's not in there. What was the name of the church? It's not in there. What was the text? It's not in there. How do you know that you're born again? Go read 1 John. And you know what it's all about? A transformation of the life. And you know where it begins? You are no longer in darkness, you are in light. That's where it begins, the very beginning. The very first mark of someone who is born again is they're no longer in darkness, they're in light. It goes on from there, they're no longer living in sin, they're living in righteousness. They're no longer living in hatred, they're living in love. It is a transformation of the nature. Jesus said, either make the tree good and its fruit good, the tree evil and its fruit evil. It's a transformation of the nature that produces a changed life. You'd almost think that James said, you know what, you say you have faith? Faith without works is dead. You say you're born again. I don't care how vivid your memory is of that event. If you have not changed, you're lost. Period. This man knows nothing about Jesus except that he's changed. You see, we have gotten things backwards. What we have done is we have crushed God's little sheep because they don't know all the answers. And we've promoted wolves and goats because they do know all the answers. And what we look for and how we define Christianity is not in holiness, but is an intellectual understanding of theology and certain scripture. And we will write off somebody if they don't understand the rapture or the end times the way we do as pagan, while we live in adultery, lying, stealing, gossip, slander, hatred. You see, Christianity is about the transformation of the nature. This man, his eyes have been opened, but he cannot tell you what happened. He cannot tell you very much about Christ. But you know what? He stands boldly for Christ and is excommunicated for his stand, even though he knows virtually nothing. Haven't you found it very ironic that with all of the translations we have of the Bible in the English language and all the resources we have in America, that Americans are the most compromised of Christians, if you can ever use that word. I don't think people who call themselves Christians. And yet our brothers and sisters, many of whom have never even read the Bible once, much less one page of it, will stand and be martyred for their faith. Why? Because their faith is real. Many of the ones in the States, it's counterfeit. They think that spirituality is a gaining of knowledge, not a transformation of the life. As long as I know more about the Bible than so-and-so, I'm right with God. Have you been transformed by Jesus Christ? You see, there are many Christians who are born again, but they can't answer all the theology questions, so we sometimes question their faith as opposed to strengthening them. Here is the question. Has your life been radically transformed by Jesus Christ? Yes or no? That is the only question. You can tell me anything you want to about how you know you're a Christian. If your life has not been changed, you're going to hell. Period. And you cannot make Scripture say anything else. This man knows nothing. But you know what? He can see. And by the way, in this passage of Scripture, who knows the Bible the best? All the Pharisees that reject Jesus Christ. And what do we find at the end? They're the ones that are blind. Well, he sees. Am I saying that we should be stupid Christians? No, we should study to show ourselves approved. But knowing Bible verses doesn't make you a Christian. Being able to say, uh-huh, and yeah, and I believe this, and I believe that. You know, many people are going to be in heaven who've never even heard the word Trinity. Why? Because they were born again. And they were slaughtered, and they're still being slaughtered by the thousands. Many true believers in Christ who've never seen the Bible in their own language, but they have their eyes opened by Jesus Christ. Notice what happens. In verse 32, he continues and says this, "Since the world began, it was not heard that any man open the eyes of one that was born blind. If this man were not of God, he could do nothing." I love what Ian shared this morning about God opening eyes. In Isaiah 35, it's a prophecy. You want to look for the Messiah? Look for the man who opens the eyes of the blind. And Jesus, obviously, Isaiah 35 is not just talking about physically opening the eyes of one man's physical blindness. Obviously, it's speaking of what Ian shared this morning about spiritual blindness. But I want you to notice what this man gets right. What has taken place in his life is not of man, it is of God. And they can argue back and forth all they want to about Jesus Christ. They can argue all they want to about theology, but the one thing they can never convince him of is that what took place in his life was the work of a sinful man. What is the mark of someone who's born again according to Jesus in John 3? The wind blows wherever it lists. What is it? Have you ever watched? I love watching, you know, in the fall especially, the wind will whip through and it'll pick up leaves and it'll just spin them around in a circle and just move them on somewhere else. That is what it means to be born again. That some unseen power grabs you, picks you up, and moves you to a place you've never been. That is what it means to be born again. Where the very thing that took place in your life, there is no human explanation. It wasn't a midlife crisis. It wasn't you grew up and matured. It was the very hand of God took you and snatched you out of your sin, moved you, and made you a new creature. So the question for us here, as we look at this, is not, do you say with your mouth you believe in Jesus? Not, do you remember a date? Not, do you remember a time or a place? The question is this, has the power of God changed you? That is the only question. Has God Himself picked you up and changed you? An unseen power, an unseen hand that reached down in your life and changed you. And by the way, is still changing you today. Many people say, I'm saved. What has God done to change you? Many people come to me and they're worried. And they say, I don't know that I'm saved. I mean, God's changed all this stuff in my life, but hello? That's the evidence that you're saved. Can you point back not to some date written in a Bible, not to some baptism or joining a church, Can you point back to what you were before God found you? And can you tell me what He has changed in your life? The sin that He has brought you out of. The change and transformation that He has brought about inside of you. Notice what happens. This man, this is scary because he doesn't even really know who Jesus is yet. In fact, he's never met Him as a seeing man. He's never even really believed in Him. Until in verse 35, Jesus comes and finds him and says, "Do you believe on the Son of God?" And what is his answer? "You show me where He is and I will." This isn't a blind man, this is a seeing man. Jesus says, "You have seen Him and it's He that talks with you." "Lord, I believe." When his eyes are open and he sees Jesus, it doesn't take very long for him to believe. But you know what? The Pharisees who were blind died in unbelief. Because no matter how many Bible verses you showed them, no matter how much scripture Jesus quoted, no matter how many people he healed, no matter how many people he rose from the dead, even when he himself rose from the dead, they were blind and could not see it. So the question that I have for you is this. You say you're right with God. Can you point to a transformation where your life has changed and is continuing to change? Do you see your sin? One of the greatest evidences that someone is lost is they cannot even see it when they wrong someone or when they sin against God. You say, "It's wrong. It says right here it's wrong." And they just... they're blind. They're blind. So I must ask you, can you see? Can you see what God says is right and what God says is wrong? Can you see your sin? And can you see the transformation that God has brought about in your life? Are you born again? Not did you make some profession of faith, but are you born again? Are you transformed? Are you changed? If the answer is yes, then do exactly what this man does in verse 38. He worships Him. Give Him all the praise and all the glory. Why? Because your eyes have been opened by His grace, not by you. It's one of the reasons we partake of the Lord's Supper every Sunday. So that we can remind ourselves that we can see not because of us, but because of Him. To worship Him, to praise Him, to give Him the glory because He changed us. Not things we did, but He washed our eyes with regeneration and opened them so that we might see. If you're here and you say, "You know what? I'm blind." You know there's hope for you. Because the man who finally sees that he's blind is the one who's finally beginning to see. The man who finally begins to realize that he is in sin is the one who can cry out to Jesus Christ, "Have mercy on me." Jesus opens the eyes of the blind. If you are in sin, if you are blind, come to Jesus Christ for sight. Come to Him. Come wash your eyes in His Word. Wash your eyes in His blood. Wash your eyes in His resurrection from the dead. Come to Him so that He might give you a new life, that He might open your eyes so that you might see and you might believe. Many people I know, even some of you who attend on a regular basis, are lost. And it bothers you. When will I ever be saved? You're not going to get saved sitting in a pew. Remember blind Bartimaeus? He cried out. When people said, "Shh, be quiet," he cried out louder until Jesus heard him. Cry out to Jesus Christ. Cry out to Him. Beg and plead for Him to come and open your eyes and give you sight. Beg and plead with Him to save you, transform you. Because if you seek Him, you'll find Him. If you ask, you'll receive. If you knock, the door will be opened. Jesus Christ is the one who opens the eyes of the blind. And the question I have for you is this. Can you see that? Can you see? Do you believe in Christ? Not in words, This man's belief was not based upon words. This man's belief was based upon a radical transformation that took place in his life. Do you know the Lord? Would you come to Christ for sight? Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you'll be saved. Amen.